The latest National Geographic radio expedition is to a legendary site in West Africa, Timbuktu, in present-day Mali. Europeans sought its riches for centuries, but remotely situated at the southern edge of the Sahara Desert and far up the Niger River, Timbuktu remained isolated, and in many ways it still is. NPR's Alex Chadwick reports.
Imagine Timbuktu as a fortress of lost treasures somewhere in Africa, so fabled and foreign no outsider could get there, which turns out to be only partly true. It is remote. If you think the African continent might resemble a boxing glove, Timbuktu is at the tip of the thumb. It's hundreds of miles upstream where the Niger River bends northward and touches the southern edge of the Sahara Desert. 1,000 years ago, before real ocean navigation, caravans with gold, slaves, and spices leave Timbuktu to cross the desert to the Mediterranean. They return with goods from the known world and with salt, common now but precious back then, and with scholars and books.
There have been waves of learned men who have crossed the Sahara.
A Timbuktu historian, Professor Salem Ould Hadj.
Some of them come from northern Africa, some of them come from the Middle East. There is also a second wave of scholars who came to Timbuktu along the Niger River, and therefore Timbuktu became a center of learning, an intellectual center.
That's because, beginning about the 12th century, Timbuktu becomes a center of trade, much of it based on the salt that's mined in the desert. The traders need accountants, and Islamic scribes, bound by teachings in the Quran, are found to be trustworthy. Their faith and learning spreads throughout the region, as do the wondrous skills of the desert navigators who ride the salt caravans to riches.
They have mastered the Sahara so much that even when the wind is blowing, they can tell what kind of wind it is, if it is going to rain or if they are going to be thirsty. Whatever is blowing, whatever natural elements that they are encountering in the Sahara, they exactly know the meaning of those elements.
700 years ago, Timbuktu grows to a city of 100,000. It's bigger than London, with a great university, schools, mosques. Islamic scholars form the Circle of Knowledge to settle questions of law, commerce, civics, and theology. In Timbuktu, says Professor Hadj, all of these tie together.
The salt trade also has a spiritual connotation to us, because anything that comes from the Sahara is sacred. And this is why God has formed and trained all the prophets. Moses, Abraham, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, all of them were sent to the desert to be trained. Anything really that we receive from the Sahara carries blessing and is sacred and is divine.
But divine is not immortal. Ships displace caravans, mechanized mining provides plentiful salt elsewhere, and in its destitute streets today, Timbuktu's glory seems very long ago. People don't have money. They don't have work. They can't see how things are going to get better. The Circle of Knowledge still gathers as it has for perhaps 800 years. It's not yet dawn. In this bare, unheated room, the dim light is from a single low-watt fluorescent bulb. 2 dozen men in robes and turbans sit on mats over the sand-covered floor. They want to honor their traditions, but it's hard. Always more questions, fewer answers. Their leader is one of the younger among them, Mahamane Hamu, in his mid-40s.
There is a lack of control. Everyone has a satellite dish, and the kids are there following those new ways. And that's creating a clash with the old traditional conservative way.
These are pretty much the conditions Isa Muhammad found when he returned here 4 years ago.
It was in 1999 when I went to Timbuktu on the pilgrimage.
Born in Mali, Now a businessman with an American family in California, he was in his homeland on a spiritual quest.
I was there and suddenly the imam, the religious leader, walked to me and said that we know that God is going to send us some help. And suddenly he started showing me the manuscripts.
And now he's eager to show others these manuscripts. He leads me down narrow alleyways, past the outer spaces of someone's home, to a small, humble room, barely more than a shed. It's a private library and rare book gallery that's simply astounding. Wooden shelves hold ancient, frail-looking sheaves of paper, hundreds of them, all in fine, fading Arabic script. The real, unexplored treasure of Timbuktu, says Issa Muhammad.
The manuscript and the books of Timbuktu cover subjects such as mathematics, physics, chemistry, astronomy, Islamic sciences, and the most important thing is that this manuscript covers treaties.
Treaties
on peace, good governance, conflict resolutions, cultural diversity, how to live together, although we are different.
Hundreds of thousands of these old documents exist, but many are in poor condition. That's why the imam asked for help. The private libraries can collect the manuscripts and prevent their being sold on the black market, but few people here have money to properly preserve and archive them. Issa Mohammed.
We are in possession of manuscripts and books that testify that Africa does have a history and Africa does have written records, which are the hallmark of civilization.
He's formed the Timbuktu Heritage Institute to raise awareness of the manuscripts, but his institute needs help, and so does Timbuktu. At the Circle of Knowledge, Muhammad A. Hamu finishes his morning reading. The men rise and depart into morning light that's turning from violet to soft gray. I watch them go in the company of Wade Davis, an anthropologist who's studying old cultures under modern stress.
This is exactly the role of tradition, is that tradition was not always a force of conservatism, it was a force of moral order, of coherence in a society. And when that tradition is lost, what you have in its wake is a form of chaos. And when the wave of chaos comes over the society, then you have all these other outside influences. And that's really what is under threat here, it seems to me.
Still, old traditions do survive, and tomorrow we're following one of them into the desert and the faraway salt mines. Meanwhile, you can find a link to the Timbuktu Heritage Institute at our online site, npr.org. For Radio Expeditions in Timbuktu, Mali, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
There's more about this expedition tonight at 7 and 10 o'clock Eastern Time on the National Geographic Channel's Daily News Journal, National Geographic Today.